Case 12 from the Gateless Barrier, the Wu Men Khan. Druyen calls, Master. The case. The priest, Druyen, called Master to himself every day and answered himself, Yes. Then he would say, Be aware, and reply, Yes. Don't be deceived by others. No, no. Wu Men's comment. Old Druyen buys himself and sells himself. He brings forth lots of angel faces and demon masks and plays with them. Why? Look. One kind calls, one kind answers. One kind is aware, one kind will not be deceived by others. If you still cling to understanding, you're in trouble. If you try to imitate Druyen, your discernment is altogether that of a fox. Wu Men's verse. Students of the way do not know truth. They only know their consciousness up to now. This is the source of endless birth and death. The fool calls it the original self. Druyen was a disciple of Yen Tao, who is the cook in a case that we recently talked about at a Zazen Kai. He's the friend of the cook, who is this person who scolds the teacher for showing up early with his bowls. And then, I gotta start over. Druyen is the student of the friend of the cook. Forgive me, that's like your brother's uncle's aunt's sister's brother. All right, so yeah, there's this relationship between these folks. So Druyen is in that line, transmitted down through that teacher who we've talked about so many times, who shows up with his bowls early to the meal, or on time to the meal and the cook's late, or who knows, right? And we enter into all these questions about who was right and who was wrong. And so we can see traces of that in this very case, where we have Druyen calling to himself, Don't be deceived. No, no. And this case where we see Druyen exploring this relationship that we have with ourself, manifesting it. There are many, many cases, stories, koans of Zen teachers talking to themselves, which is kind of funny because, you know, I've mentioned this movie before about how it's called How to Cook Your Life with a teacher, I think his name's Ed Brown, who was a cook and baker, Tassajara. And, there's a movie where he's running sort of like a workshop on cooking, and he ends up getting really angry with students because they keep doing this, that, and the other thing. And, you know, he ends up sort of, you see him at certain points just sitting by himself, like at a table, like talking to himself, really angry, like this. And it's really funny. And at the same time, like, you know, it's not like he's faking it either. You know, he's really upset. And he's just talking to himself. The other night I was down here, you know, getting cushions out. And I noticed myself talking to myself. All right, so I'm going to put some cushions over here, and I'm going to put the zafus over there. And then I heard Sandra up in the kitchen, da-da-da-da-da, talking to herself. I thought it was very funny. You wondered what it's like around here. Yeah, so I remember when I was a little child, actually. And we heard a story about this from someone in our Sangha on Wednesday as well. But mine's a little different. I'll tell the story of the person in our Sangha first who told a story about how she used to go look in the mirror and look deeply into her face and her eyes and say, "Who are you?" Probably many of us have had that experience, actually, of looking in the mirror and kind of wondering. You know, when you're a very young child, you know, the profundity of that question, actually, to see one's own image and to try to look into it and see who is really there, who is inside this image of myself. Late at night, weird kid, I know, I used to lie in bed at night and say my name, Michael. And I wondered, who's going to answer? It's actually kind of funny. Who's in there? Anybody in there? Hello? And yeah, the quality of it at first, that it is quite a fearsome thing, actually, to do that. We see stories of people, anyone who's seen The Wall, this character in The Wall who shaves his own eyebrows when he's on too much acid, looking in the mirror. kind of a risky endeavor to do this. And yet here we are. All of us showing up for Sesshin, shining the light within, wondering, who am I? What is this? What is this that's happening here? What is going on? A bell rings, we get up, we walk. What is going on? What are we doing? Who am I? What is this all about? This Zen tradition, this practice. The priest Zhuyan called master to himself every day and answered himself, "Yes. Who is answering?" Who is thinking? Who has just answered inside your own mind? Who is that? What's there behind the thought? You know, we have this old model of I think, therefore I am, and we just kind of assume we know what that I is and who that person is. The Zen invitation, keep looking. Of course, we do answer all the time, don't we? I sometimes talk about these senses of self that arise for us. What's so amazing is how convincing they are. Just so, so convincing, especially when we're giving ourselves shit. Especially when we think that we've messed up. So sticky is the shameful sense of self, the one who is bad and wrong. The flip side of the coin, and sometimes entering through the back door, the one who is right, who knows better, who is so good, who's got it all figured out, who knows exactly who they are and what this tradition is about and what Zen is all about. And yet when we are called, we answer, don't we? We should answer, we must answer. When we are called by the world, called to respond, called to take action, called to show up to work, called to serve in some way. So yes, we show up perhaps without knowing who we are. That clear, solid ground of being a terrible person, of being a wonderful person, becomes less clear for us as we go through our changes, as we see those senses of who we are shapeshift day after day after day in our practice and in the Zendo, a little bit less certainty each time they arise that they mean anything at all. How lovely. An entryway here for us, a possibility here of freedom, the realization that, oh, this is just another version, another mental formation arising here, telling me I'm this or I'm that. How much do we believe our own stories? James Ford's early encouragements in my practice, don't believe anything you think. Now, how dramatic, right? Not don't believe some of the things that you think. Be very careful about what you believe. No, don't believe anything. An invitation there to emptiness. An invitation to the world that where flowers grow without our having to make them grow. This beautiful unfolding. But how quickly we do believe our thoughts, our ideas, our judgments about ourselves, about the world, about others, about what this person did right and what this other person did wrong. And how quickly we are swept into realms of right and wrong with absolute faith in our ability to perceive the objective and absolute truth. If we're honest with ourselves, we don't even really quite know what we are. So he would say, be aware. Be aware. And reply, yes. Don't be deceived by others. No. These instructions for us for practice, be aware and don't be deceived. Who are these others that we are deceived by? Is it the others inside of ourselves, these angels and devils that show up, these good people and bad people? Don't be deceived by them. And of course, another possibility, don't be deceived by conventional belief, conventional reality, senses of reality. We are the ones who have created nations, these mental formations, these places where we divide the land, self and other, the tribal identities. And we buy into it together, our versions of reality, of this, that, of self and other. And out of these stories, there can be beautiful creations and there can be wars. What to do with that as a practitioner of the way? To see the way that we create reality and act on our own creation. And yet here we are called to respond in that world of conventional reality, called to respond. But don't be deceived. What stories are we actually believing? Are they true? Do we dare wonder? Do we dare have the humility to acknowledge that all of it is mental formation? The koan continues. Old Zhui Yu buys himself and sells himself. He brings forth lots of angel faces and demon masks and plays with them. Something so lovely in that, isn't there? The lightness of touch there. We do exist in this world of form, and to simply deny it is to slip into something quite nihilistic. These conventional realities, these stories, they relate to something that is unfolding, that we are giving shape in the narratives of our own minds. And to be awake to that fact, that this is a constellation, means perhaps we can hold them with a little humility, a little lightness. We can play with them a bit. We can still enter in. Why? Look, one kind calls, one kind answers. One kind is aware, one kind will not be deceived by others. How many selves do you have? Which one is the real you? How quickly we want to identify with one of them. I'll be the one who doesn't believe. If you still cling to understanding, you're in trouble. If you try to imitate Zhui Yan, your discernment is altogether that of a fox. Can we be yet someone else in our practice? Ooh, I like Zhui Yan's version of himself. I think I'll be the one who plays with demon masks and plays with. Notice how we want to impose this, turn this person who is an exemplar of the path. We want to create a self out of that too. Students of the way do not know truth. They only know their consciousness up to now. This is the source of endless birth and death. The fool calls it the original self. So, what is your original self? The self before your parents were born. That wonderful story about a shopping list given to the Tenzo in the middle of a sesshin. Tenzos in the middle of week-long sesshin often have to go out for a shopping trip, around day four to replenish. And they head out into the supermarket, if you can possibly imagine, in the midst of this practice, looking at labels and comparing costs. And down about three quarters the way down on the list, David Reinach had written true self. And so the Tenzo went searching. He said, is that some kind of soap? What is that? Till he realized the joke was on him. Aisle six, true self. Aisle seven, original self. Where do we find this? Because students of the way don't know truth. They only know their consciousness up till now. That line, formerly not even part of the case, is one of my favorite parts of this koan. Our senses of self are generated out of stories that we are telling about the past. And where is that past? We picture a timeline that exists in some objective way outside of this moment, and yet we can never see it. When we look at a tree, we see the past in the tree. The seed is now the tree, but the seed is gone. We see the future, we see firewood and ash, but not yet. And yet we live in those imagined places. Senses of self, senses of others, stories about others, who they are, how right and wrong they are for all the things that they've done, born out of those memories, insubstantial as the air.